have, I think Shear will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock, but just stay tuned because I may have to push it to 1:15 because there's something else going on. But hopefully we do 1 o'clock. And just to remind everybody that we have a midterm on Wednesday. So no Shear on Tuesday. And then we pick up again on Thursday, hopefully making some strides in Bayur Abayim Matzeh. Okay, everybody can hear? It's good? Okay, hopefully I can hear. I don't know, actually, I'm not sure if I can hear you. 1 second, let me just, I think I have to, hold on, just give me 1 second. Okay, I think I can hear. Can somebody say something?
Oh.
Okay, good. Simcha Leib. Gotcha. Okay, great. So let's just finish off discussing the question of Mitoch for a couple of minutes, and then hopefully tomorrow we can start, if not today, the Shakla Vitari of Bayur Abayim Matzeh. First, just to a ha'ara from Moshe, who brought to my attention the Rashi in Parshas Kisisa. But I don't know if Moshe realizes this, but not everybody, you know, we could try to figure out now what kind of, you know, Chumash he's been using, because it's not in all versions of Rashi. You aware of that?
Yeah.
What's the story? Do you know where it is and where it isn't?
I don't know which one it is, but I noticed that it was in brackets in some of them.
Yeah. So there is a Rashi in Parshas Kisisa, and it requires much more discussion. in Parshas HaShavua, as we know, we were discussing the Pasuk in Parshas Vayakel, which is next week's Parsha. We're always doing Parshas HaShavua. So, but of course, what immediately precedes it towards the end of Kisisa is a description of Shabbos. The Mefarshim, by the way, work diligently to try to explain some of the discrepancies between the presentation of Shabbos here in the end of Kisisa and the presentation in the beginning of Vayakel. And the question of what has changed, I guess, in the aftermath of the Egel. That's like a very, very fascinating issue. But we're going to, you know, resist temptation and not discuss that right now. It'll take us too far afield. But the Torah says in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Tesvav, Sheish Samim Yaseh Malacha, Uvayom Ashvi Shabbos Shabboson Kodesh Lashem. So the Rashi, which is printed in some, the Oz V'Hadar, another Chumashim, in parentheses, there's some question whether this really was a Rashi or not. In the other gifts, it's not printed in the Torah Skayim or in many others, is Shabbos Shabboson. You have it there, Moshe? I'll let you do the work.
Yeah. The Kach Kafla Kasev Lomar Sha'asar B'chol Malacha Afilo Ocho Nefesh V'chein Yom HaKippurim Sh'nemer Bel Shabbos Shabboson Hu Lachem Asar B'chol Malacha Aval Yom Tov Lo Nemer Bel Kiyim B'yom HaRishon Shabboson V'yom HaShmini Shabboson Asurim B'chol Malacha Savoda U'metarim B'lechas Ocho Nefesh.
So, of course, the end of the piece is very interesting in that it's almost a little, you know, Ramban-like, where the contrast is Kol Malachas Avoda as opposed to Malachas Ochol Nefesh. But even more important is the earlier part. I mean, the idea that the designation of Shabbos Shabboson, which we normally associate with Yom Kippur, you know, that itself signifies the absence of Heter Ochol Nefesh. I mean, in a way, it's according to this, you know, interpretation, it's another answer to the question of what's the makar of Heter Ochol Nefesh, you know, Bishar Yomim Tovim. So then the answer is what excludes it is only Shabbos Shabboson, the absence of Shabbos Shabboson. So it isn't so per se Melechas Avoda, it's the fact, the absence of the phrase Shabbos Shabboson, which only appears in the Torah in connection with Shabbos and in connection with Yom Kippur. But again, it's a very telling kind of makar in that The implication is that it's something descriptive and internal, and that it relates to like a super Shabbos or an intrinsic Shabbos. And of course, that it's initially applied according to this designation equally in a way between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So that's a very important makar. So yeah, the question is, where does it really come from? But it's a very interesting and important makar. The truth is, a famous gra, I'm sure we've mentioned this in the past, the gra in Parshas Emor, in Kol Eliyahu, addressing the question of why Shabbos, you know, is included in Emor. Why not just, you know, stick to the Moedim? Question that we've already talked about. I've given you my preferred answer. So again, it's hard to know how, you know, much this is just a remez or taken more seriously, but it's a very famous, clever gra, where the gra says that the pshat is sheshes yomim teaseh malacha, uvayom hashvi Shabbos Shabboson mikra kodesh. So the Gra in Kol Eliyahu says it doesn't refer to Shabbos. It refers to the other Moedim. And that the point is that for the other six Moedim, and he lists them off, I'm not sure if I have the Kol Eliyahu here. Just 1 second, if I can find it. 1 second. No, okay, I'm not going to look in for now. I don't want to take too much time. But the, oh, wait a minute. Oh, okay, I did find it. Usually I can't find anything, but by Schus HaRabim. So let me see if I can find it. So he says that the pshat is that the Sheshes Yamim, nope, it's not here. Okay, that's even worse. Hold on 1 second. Maybe it's an Aderes Eliyahu, actually. Whatever it is, either in Kol Eliyahu or Aderes Eliyahu, the pshat is that the Sheshes Yamim refers to all of the Moedim, if you count them out. And Sheshes Yamim Teaseh Malacha is a reference to Heter Ochel Nefesh, who by Yom HaShvi is Yom Kippur. And that's Shabbos Shabboson Mikra Kodesh. So that, of course, perfectly fits in with the, you know, that Rashi or whatever it is that Moshe is pointing out about Shabbos Shabboson. And again, highlighting again the special connection between Yom Kippur and Shabbos, specifically with regard to this din of Heter Ochel Nefesh. Okay. That's just wanted to bring that one to your attention. Again, there's so much more to talk about. You mentioned, you know, Ner Shabbos and Yom Kippur. That's my understanding of it. And of course, Avdallah, you know, in general, et cetera. And of course, the Pasuk in Vayakhel and its various interpretations. You know, all of this is relevant to this question. Okay, getting back to the stira between Heyamud Beis and Vav Amud Aleph and the question of whether we apply the din of mitoh to the mitzvah of tashbisu. So we already pointed out the sheet of Rashi. Rashi says, what exactly, Kobi? Rashi and Vav Amud Aleph?
I haven't, I'm a little behind in the Makot, I think. I haven't.
What's that?
I'm not sure I've got, I'm a little behind in the Makot still. I'm not.
Oh, okay. Sure. Okay. Well, we'll give you a chance to catch up. Let's see, Romy?
Yeah, that we've already done Bittel, and so in the, we're just talking about the Chametz that's Muktza and whether or not you can move
yeah,
that.
Correct. Rashi introduces the din of Tiltol, Muktza. He may be the first one to introduce, to have introduced it. I think it's a great example, again, that many of the Rishonim assume that the problem is a problem of Tiltol. The Gemara says nothing about Tiltol. But once Rashi introduced, again, I'm not I didn't check it out. It could be the other people earlier than Rashi introduced it. But as far as my impression is that Rashi is the first one to have introduced it. And of course, the impact of Rashi, even if others did, the fact that Rashi introduced it, so it almost became like, you know, part of the sugya, you know, part of the fabric. So other Rishonim just jumped on that bandwagon and assumed it. Even though it's a very remarkable thing, because again, Tiltol is a, you know, Dindurabanan, that it's, you know, referred to here, or that this is the basis for it, that it could be the basis for it in terms of the impact of Drabanans on Daraisas, etc., is all very highly questionable. So the fact that, you know, it became so central in the sugya is a personal, you know, speculation. It doesn't change the substance. I'm always curious, in addition, about the phenomenology, you know, of how the sugyas develop and the relationship between, you know, the various contributions and how that changes the trajectory, I guess. But I think because somebody as prominent as Rashi, I mean, Rashi read the sugya. Rashi was obviously troubled. Why? I mean, the difficulty is inherent in the Gemara itself, right? Why can't you do something about this on Yontif? So Tiltol obviously is a possibility, but once Rashi introduced it, it almost became like the default explanation, and the issue instead began to revolve around, you know, the parameters of it. Like with Bittul, even without Bittul, there is Balyura, there's no Balyura. That's connected to Mitoch, it's not connected to Mitoch. But, you know, Tiltol just became part of the story here. So that is just a remarkable phenomenon and a testimony to, you know, the Rashi's impact, just like the Rambam's impact and Rabbeinu Tam's impact, and so on and so forth. Okay.
Rabbi? Yeah. Why can't we say that Rashi's going to she toss on bits on that base and looks could be there, I saw.
Say that one more time.
Why can't we say that Rashi is going to shitas on beitza and daf beis and muksa could be deraisa?
In beitza, that's a very controversial Rashi. Maybe it doesn't sound like that's the point here. And even if there is, most people think Matan's asking: there's a Rashi beitza that makes sound like that muksa is deraisa? First of all, it depends on the girsa there, but also most of the mfarshim there understand that Legabe achila it's daraisa, not necessarily legabe, you know, tilto. So and you know, so there are a lot of A, it's very controversial. B, there are a lot of qualifications, and it's very possible it doesn't apply to this kind of tilto. But something to think about. Definitely something to think about. Either way, it's a good thing to introduce, so people should be aware of it. You have to look at the Shittim Gubetzis there in Beitza, and there's a whole literature on that Rashi. The truth is that closely connected to it, since we're talking about it, is a sugya on, you know, Mem Vav and Mem Zayin here in Psachim, where the Gemara seemed to have a Hava Mina that Muktzah was a Malacha on Shabbos. But of course, the Gemara ultimately, you know, rejects that. So, that's a whole issue. Anyways, Rashi introduced it, as Romy correctly says. What's interesting about it is, Romy, that even though it's mukta, he limits it, right?
Yeah.
In what way? It's only going to be an obstacle. Under what conditions?
Meaning he's only an obstacle if there's no Balyura, but he wants it to violate?
Correct, exactly. That's it's implicit in Rashi. Rashi assumes that there was Bittul here, which also doesn't say it in the Gemara, and as we know, other Rishonim disagree. So the assumption is that had there not been Bittul, then there wouldn't be an obstacle of Tiltul, right? Which, you know, also works very well with the fact that Tiltul here doesn't have to be Doraisa, right? Because if it was Doraisa, then it would be an interesting clash. Now, what Rashi does not relate to, which is why it's a little bit difficult, I'm just repeating what we said the other day, just getting us caught up a little bit. What he doesn't relate to is whether the you know, issue is one of mitoch, right, Romy?
Yeah.
What we know in Rashi is that would there be, if there's a clash between bayirah, bayimatze, and muktzah, it sounds like bayirah, bayimatze would override muktzah. But Rashi doesn't say anything here about mitoch. He leaves us guessing on that. Okay. Good. What is important in Rashi is, you know, just to further reinforce some of the shitas we saw in the beginning of the year, and that is, in a situation where your hands are tied, namely there's nothing that you can do, is there Baal Yiroah? Right? From two points of view. From the perspective of Anus, and which is a universal din, and from the perspective of Baal Yiroah itself. Now, if part of Baal Yiroah is the fact that you're neglecting Tashbisu, or that, you know, it signifies Rotza B'Kiyumo, you might argue that when your hands are tied, right, it doesn't signify that at all. There is no Baal Yiroah. In other words, one could have said that even if those are two issues. If there's no Bittul, you could say, well, there's no Bittul, but Tiltul is still Ma'akev, right? As we'll see some of the Rishonim do, right? Because it's Kumbaseh, because Emidu Divrayim B'makom Din Doraisa, right? If you wanted to say what Matan was saying, because I think that that's more limited, that's one issue. And the second issue is, you might say, that there's no real counter pressure because there's no Baal Yiroah anyway. Either because it's onus, right? Or because a function of Baal Yiroah is the fact that it's volitional. Meaning that you have, you know, an easy option to get rid of it, which you're ignoring. So then maybe even the Din D'Rabbanan Umukta establishes that this isn't an expression of your will, and therefore mimela, it's not a problem of Baal Yiroah. So I think that all that, just to sum up, Rashi introduces Tiltul, A. B, Rashi ignores mitoch. We just don't know what he thinks about it here, one way or another. Regarding the clash between Baal Yiroah and muktzah, it sounds like Rashi thinks if there was Baal Yiroah, then we would override muktzah. And one could have disagreed, either because of Himidu Devrayim, or something like that, or because of Anus, or Baal Yiroah simply doesn't apply unless it's, you know, Berutzono. Rashi disagrees with all those points. Rashi thinks there's no Anus here, there is no absence of positive Baal Yiroah. So when there is Baal Yiroah, you would override, and Muktzah, or Tiltul, is overcomable. Okay, that's Rashi. The Ran, as we know,
Rabbi.
Yeah,
Rabbi. Isn't it clear for Rashi though that if there was Baal Yiroah by Amati Dira, so then you would apply Mitoch? So why is that not clear from Rashi?
Why is that clear from Rashi? Maybe it would just mean that you would override Muk. So why do you need Mitoch? Rashi doesn't speak about Sreifa.
Well, what would be different in the Gemara? How else would you solve the Baal Yiroah by Amati Dira?
Exactly. So let me just add, I should have added that, you know, for Baal Tosis, who paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, right, that ain't bir chametz ala b'sreifa, the idea that mitoch is on the line is far more likely. Right, even then you might say, well, there's still a way to neutralize Baal Yiroah, maybe without being mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu, right? Like Tosis's view about Bittul in general, you know, and we discuss this, Pneushua and Bittul, Bechamet Sheni Yadua, things like that. Bechamet Yadua, sorry. Things like that. But either way, according to Tosis, who paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, so let's say Stam Tashbisu, mostly at least, we identify as Sreifa. But as we've discussed, you know, when we're talking about Bittul, there's no evidence that Rashi Tafka holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara in Hayamud Beis is Rabbi Yehuda. That might be another way to get out of the problem. Although we'll see, it could go either way. Therefore, for Rashi, like for the Rambam, we'll get to the Rambam in a minute, the Rambam certainly paskins, like the Chachamim, Hashmasasa b'chol davar. Right? So, you know, the question is, why not just do it? You don't need mitok for that, one would think. Just take it and throw it in the river. All you need to do is be able to overcome tilto. That's why, I'm glad you brought it up, because, that's like a missing piece. As far as I'm aware, there's no reason to think, Hamad base, the Gemara says explicitly, that, you know, Rabbi Akiva holds, like Rabbi Yehuda in Bir Chametzel B'Sreif. And therefore, certainly it's a mitok issue. But Vava Medalef for Rashi doesn't have to be that way. Tosus in Ksuvas assumes that we're talking about Sreifa because Lishitaso, Oliver Shas, he thinks we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. All right? Eitan?
I'm saying, but that, so then that's also going to assume for even for the Chacham Hashvashas B'chol Davar, you wouldn't need mitok, let's say, for like an Akshave issue?
So that, I think the Akshave issue I'm going to discuss, I think is a factor, right? The Akshave issue is, I think, a factor, but I don't think it's by any means, you know, obvious. It is a particular factor according to Rashi, given Rashi and Beitza, Daf Chav Zayin Omid Beis, right, who says that, when it comes to Achilas, Trumet Meya Leklavim, that's based on the Akshave of Sreifa. But that, because it's a Lechatchila of Sreifa, it's not so clear that if you paskin like the Chachamim, that there's a Lechatchila of Sreifa. That's an interesting question, right, within Hashpasasa B'chol Davar. Moreover, anyways, we had a little bit of difficulty together with the Beis Halevi, with Rashi on Heomid Beis, and how it fits in with Rashi and Beitza Chav Zayin Amid Beis. If you remember, Rashi Heomid Beis said, had you paskin Hashmasasa B'chol Davar, you could just feed it to the dogs. Right? That was the Rashi that we noted seems to be against the Yerushalmi about being Machil Lebehemas Hefker. So we noted that's a double problem, Machil Lebehemas Hefker, as well as Akshave. Actually, Beis Halevi thought that all that is Midin Akshave. So even at the time, we made a suggestion how to try to square Rashi and Beitza and Rashi and Hamad Beis. But either way, it's just interesting that Rashi and Hamad Beis is definitely not working with Akshave. So I don't think that we should be projecting on Vava Med Aleph that there's an Akshave. Okay? But great questions. Okay. So that is Rashi. The Ran, as we discussed. Romeo, you're helping us along here?
Yeah.
Just to catch us up for a minute, and then we'll get... Yeah. Go ahead.
So the Ran says that you would need a tzorech... We would apply mitoch whenever there's a tzorech hayom ktzat, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
The
Ran is addressing mitoch.
And he... Right, directly, and...
But he's tola the mitoch, which is very reasonable, on...
On a tzorech ktzat.
And what determines it here?
He seems to make a chiluk between whether it's derais or derabanan, meaning bali rabbi matzei or not.
Excellent. Bittel or no bittel, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, it's clear that the Ran, and it's a great example, right? The Ran is picking up from Rashi on Vava Mun Aleph. Just that where Rashi is focusing on, the issue of bali rabbi per se, that's what I'm trying to say before, the Ran is already post-Baletosis, the whole Ramban, Rajba, Ritva, Chachmei Provence, they're all talking about the Mitoch question. So he's applying it to Mitoch. And his view is that when there's no Bittel, it's Mitoch, because that's Tzorech Tzas, because you're neutralizing Bal Yeroah and accomplishing Tashbisu, so Inochanami. So there's no steer between Hamad Beis and Vav Amud Aleph. Hamad Beis is Bali Bittel. Hamad Beis is no Bali Roy and Vav Amud Aleph. There is. That's the pshat in the Ran. But it's also clear for the Ran that had there been Bittel, if there is Bittel, it's not Tzorech Ktas, even though Bittel still requires biur drabanan. And that's where Tosas and Ksuvah Zayin Omen Aleph disagrees. What does Tosas say, Romy?
Tosa would consider even a yichid drabanan to be a tzorach, enough to apply mito.
That even if there is, Tosas disagrees with Rashi, says even if there's no bitol, but again, Tosas is operating with mitok. And remember, Tosas already on Hayamid base here, excuse me, tried to explain what would have been mitok if you held mitok, right? And Tosas says, because it's Sorek Tzas. So Tosas' view is that once a Sorek Tzas, here's where he disagrees with the Ran, Sorek Tzas is even the Kiyum Drabana. So this is a very interesting issue. I think I alluded to it the other day, and I'm certainly not going to pursue the details. It's a beta topic. What is Tzorek Tzas? Bali Tosas introduced Tzorek Tzas when they argued with Rashi and Beit Sayyid Beis on the essential concept of Mitoch. And they themselves, you know, kind of weigh you know, what comes under that rubric. What about Gilan Nashen? What about, you know, Bishul Gilan Nashen? What about taking a child for a walk? And what about taking home your Machzor? And there's all already in the Balei Tosas a lot of discussion about this. And what about, there's something which we'll discuss in a minute. Let's say there's a lag between the Tzorech Ktzas that you can accomplish, you know, in a later expression of it. You know, Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu, let's say. Or let's say something is essentially, you know, not Tzorech, but there's like a Agav Tzorech later on, incidental, part of the fallout, but not, it's indirect. Either temporally, right? Like initially you can't, you don't have any benefit, or just conceptually, it comes like, that's what I'm saying, Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu. It's part of the discussion of, you know, bringing an Ola, you know, on Yom Tov, or Sreifas Kodshim, you know, things of that sort. Where do you draw the line in Tzorek Tzas? Now, it very well may be that it depends on how you understand it. If it's anything other than, you know, Melechas Avtala, or Melechas Chol, certainly not Melechas Chol, Melechas Akum, Melechas Kela. Let's say not even Melechas Avtala. You may need some sort, anything other than that? Or no, there really needs to be some tzorech. You need to be some tzorech to be considered melechas ayom, or you need some tzorech as a matir. You know, and how much tzorech do you need? That's an objective question. On that issue, the Balei Tosas were far, again, Balei Tosas is the one who introduced the din of tzorech tzas, but they, in my opinion, they weighed it, but they were far more expansive than the Chachmei Svarad who follow them. In other words, the Ramban and the whole school of Chachmei Svarad, who followed Balei Tosas' Tzorek Tzas, ended up constricting even more than Balei Tosas what is concluded under that rubric. Right? You know, maybe taking the katan for a walk isn't enough, and so on and so forth. And as we'll see, well, I might as well say, because we want to get there, the Ramban felt that even mitzvos, and even if it's not Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu, like the Balei Tosas, if you look at Pesachim Membav and in Shabbos Chav Dalet, all over the place, you know, when they talk about Sreifas Kodshim B'Yom Tov, and again, the bringing of Olas Nedava, so the Balei Tosas introduced this idea, as I mentioned, of Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu. Either, again, the incidental aspect of it, of the lochem, of the ktsas, tzorech, or the, you know, temporal delay. You know, what's primary? Is it shared? Is it peripheral? Is it agav? There are different ways you could say it. But the Ramban, even much more so, in Shabbos, Kuf Avdalid, Shabbos Kuf Lamites, and again, the influence of the Ramban became enormous in terms of Mila Shalom Bezmana, in terms of Sreifas, Kodshim, other mitzvahs. It wasn't obvious to the Ramban that even if there isn't a Shulchan Gavoa Kazachu, that stama mitzvah, tzorech mitzvah, would be enough of a justification of tzorech ktsas. There has to be something that at least links it to the yom. So it's interesting, again, for the Ramban, for the Ran, even a Pesach to Rabbanon isn't enough to be tzorech ktsas. Whereas for Tosfos and Ksuvos, you know, even though it's only Drabbanon, that's plenty. So it could very well be that that's part, again, it's always hard to assess, is the argument about, you know, how you evaluate and how you rank and what stature you assign to the mitzvah Drabbanon, once it's bittul. That's what they're arguing about. Or is the argument, you know, how much tzorech hayom, how much tzorech constitutes tzorech ktas? In which case, it's not just a local argument, it's an argument about heterochol nefesh. Okay? So that's important for Balei Tosfos in general. Tosfos also takes a stand on the other issue, Romy, namely, how much is Tiltul going to be ma'akev? I mean, if there was a mitzvah drabanon, then bitoch would allow for it. And if there is a mitzvah doraisa, then certainly bitoch should allow for it. And nonetheless, Romy? What's Tosfos' view? Tosfos holds that, like the Rashi and the Ran, that the kofel of a kli is only in a case where there was bittul?
No, meaning even if bittul was not done.
Right. Because again, Tosfos will tell you, Rashi will say it this way. Rashi introduced two echetimtzi, chidush, not echetimtzi, I guess, two chidushim, two practical elements in the Gemara that are not there. One, the assumption that there's no bittul. I'm sorry, the assumption that there was bittul. Sorry. The Gemara doesn't say that. And the second, that the obstacle is muktza. So while Tosfos accepted the second, they did not accept the first. Doesn't say that in the Gemara. Now, of course, if you don't, the more you don't, you know, accept that this is after bittul, you know, even more you need the muktza, because Tosfos says mitoch would work, right? Even if there was no bittul, I'm sorry. Even if there was bittul, mitoch would work. And if there's no bittul, kol shekein. So you need a particularly formidable something to be the obstacle. So Tosfos is playing up the muktza even more. Okay. So that's Rashi, Ran, Tosfos. Just to fill in the picture just a little more, not so much directly, but indirectly. What about Shitas HaRambam, Romi?
In Hilcha Yom Tov or in Chametz Matzah?
In Chametz Matzah.
We basically said that it's kind of unclear whether the Rambam thinks that Bittul was done in case of Kovel Alav Dakli. And then no
correct. Correct. It's not clear at all. The Rambam does say kofel of the paskins kofel of a sakli, and that's all you can do. Correct?
Yeah.
The Rambam's position is even more difficult or challenging in light of what I was commenting on, you know, in response to Eitan's question. Right, Romy? Namely?
Not sure exactly.
Okay. Tavia?
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's going for.
Avi?
If there was no exactly.
The Raman Paskin's Ashbasasa Vacholdavar. So for him, we don't know where he stands on whether there was bittul in this case. But we do know where he stands on Asher B'Sasa B'Kol Davar. So on the surface, you shouldn't even need mitoch. And yet, the Rambam says Kol Falo V'Sapli. Right, so that is more mechudash. Is that because the Rambam holds a kind of akshavei? Maybe. But then you would have to assume, if there was a kind of an akshavei, either that sreifa remains a kind of ideal, even according to the Rambam, that hashpasasa b'chol davar. And the Rambam does speak about sreifa, I believe, in the end of Paragimel, right? Ketzad bir chametz, this is halakha yud aleph. And remember, this is the first time the Rambam speaks about bir chametz. he doesn't speak about it in Perek Beis, where we would have expected it in the context of Teshbisu. There he speaks about bittel, and he speaks about bedika, but he doesn't speak about bir. Ketzad bir chametz, sorfo, o forer, o vizorah leruach, o zar kaliyam. Right? So the question is, a little bit later on, also it takes Pachamim from Sarfa Kodim Shashishis. Does the Rambam just bring Sreifa as an example, but he thinks it has no yichus, or because it's the first of the examples that shows that even the Chachamim, assign some significance to Sreifa? Enough maybe to make the rest a kind of an achshavei? An interesting question. Even if the Rambam doesn't assign special prominence to Sreifa, is it possible that simply the Kiyum HaMitzvah itself is a kind of an Achshavei? Right? But that would only make sense if it was particularly inappropriate to be done on Yom Tov. In other words, if it was yesterday's mitzvah, Be'ikaron. So then you might say, you're doing this prominent thing, in the wrong time. That's offensive to Yom Tov. But you can only say that if it isn't a kiyum in also in today, or maybe even in yesterday, like Krat today, or you could say in both, starting from yesterday, going forward, whenever you need it. If you say that, there's no akshave. Right? It's only if it's yesterday's business, conducting yesterday's business today can be akshave. So one possibility in the Rambam, I guess, is that it's akshave. But it would be under those conditions, I think that's how you'd analyze it. No one seems to say this of the Lisnosa Kelim al Atar. Instead, they interestingly focus on Muktza. And again, it's another example of projecting Rashi's world on the Rambam. And I don't know that it's wrong. It could just be that objectively, Kofim al-Sakli is such a difficult phenomenon that you have to say something like that. Okay. Either way, it's the Nosei Kelim al-Atar certainly understand that Muktza's the issue. Tilt. Yeah. Somebody had a question? Yeah, but Erev Shabbat, like this year. That's a great point. Maybe you're right. Right. I was going to mention that you have this parallel Rambam. Josh is totally right. You're right. Maybe that says that I can't do it. Chal ar basar lios b'shabbos. Bot kines achamet b'leil Erev Shabbos. Shu leil yud gimel miniach achametz k'dei lecho mimenu. Ad ar bashos miniach b'mokom mutzna. Unless you want to say, Bashar Mevaro Belifnei HaShabbos, Vimnisham Nachametz Biyom Shabbos, Kofel of Kli, Agmot Shabbos Mevaro. The same question there. Unless you want to say that it's a special din in Shabbos. Meaning vis-a-vis Yom, of course there's no bitoch, for Shabbos. But the question is, but I think it's a great point. I mean, Josh is pointing out that that's your Dalit. So on the one hand, he's right. I guess the way you'd have to say it, if it's correct, is to say it's Yudalit, but it's Shabbos. And therefore, any biur chametz on Shabbos, even on Yudalit, is automatically inappropriate in Achshavek. But it's not Betoras, it's the Yom Tov Shabbos, or Erev Yom Tov Shabbos, it's Betoras Shabbos. I think that makes sense. But you'd have to say that. Correct. Okay. What did the Nosa Kalim say? Romy, you saw it? Saw them?
I didn't get a chance to see the Nosa Kalim yet.
Okay. Matthew, you get a chance?
Yeah, I didn't see them yet.
Moshe, Simon?
I didn't get a chance to see it either, sorry.
Okay. Again, we want to move along. So who saw it? Jonathan? No? Binyamin? Okay. The Magen Mishnah says
what? Just discuss whether you did Bittul or not.
Yeah. So interestingly, the Magen Mishnah, well, some of them, I mean, the Kesem Mishnah says it does more than that. The Magen Mishnah basically says that in his view, the Rambam is talking about Bali Bittul, which increases the significance of the Rambam. Okay. Again, whether it's on the Achshavei level or which is what I prefer, or on the, you know, total level, it applies even B'li Bittul. That's the Magen Mishnah. He quotes the other Deos, but okay. The Kesem Mishnah, on the other hand, Binyamin, what does the Kesem Mishnah have? First Deo, that it's, there's no Mitoch, compares it to Sreifas Kodshim. Right?
Yeah.
It's not considered Tzorech HaYom Tzas. It's like Sreifas Kodshim. That's very much on the lines of the Ramban. Right?
Yeah.
Or, that's one possibility, basically the Kesem Mishnah initially attacks it from a, it doesn't fit to Mitoch point of view. Either because, like the Ramban, Chachmei Sfarad, even regular mitzvahs that are mitzvahs, not mitzvahs hayom, right, don't qualify. And the assumption, it's pretty mechudash, is that tashbisu is like sreifas kodshim b'yom tov. Okay. But again, the more it's a yudalid, the more that's true, or at least you could have done it b'yudalid, didn't have to be today for sure. Is it also that it's too late? He's not emphasizing that. Okay, what's the second one? Binyamin, the ode?
Chachamim asu chizik l'divrei?
No. The second one you need, maybe like the Gemara and Ksuvis, you need hana shava l'chol davar. So you need hana saguf and hana sanafesh. And you don't have, oh, minim her kambi l'ksuvis, lo minim mitoch ela b'hana shava l'chol nafesh. And v'ha chaleika, another is called Nefesh. Right? Then he quotes Tosis, although he's not necessarily saying this for the Rambam, but about Mukta. And then he discusses if it's Mukta, Binyamin, the Chimishum Yisur Drabanan Sharinan the Bayroba Imatze.
Right.
Now his answers are very interesting. First one is Chakam Matsuchizuk Devrayim. But the V'od is more intriguing. Go ahead.
V'od, the ilu la'avor al etzer mukta tarich kum asei, v'la'avor al balyira b'sheva al taisehu. Ritzono ha'yi levaro ala shachacham matruhu eno over alav. The lo amr Torah balyira balimatei ala kishabirishuso ha'yi levaro v'eno mevaro av'l imhu anus lo v'ze anusu.
So that, of course, is very intriguing. Again, I only feel unhappy that he starts up by saying you could have said that that's, you know, like another version of Hamidu Devrayim, but it's an explanation of Hamidu Devrayim. You could have said Hamidu Devrayim, especially when one is a Kumvase and the other is a Shevaltasa. So it's just a din of the relationship between Drabanan and Doraisa. But he doesn't, that's not what he's saying. You could have said that. Okay, that's the part, not the part I feel badly about. Instead, Binyamin, what does he do? He transitions it into an important statement about?
About Bal Yiroah.
Bal Yiroah. And the part I feel badly about is he starts by saying that it's an internal din of Bal Yiroah. Namely, you're never going to violate Bal Yiroah, right, if your hands are tied. He ends by adding the words, Binyamin, Anus. From my point of view, this goes back to our earlier discussion of the year. I think that you could have said, you know, even without the universal din of Anus, you could say the universal din of Anus doesn't apply here, which is certainly the view of Rashi and many of them Farshim. And you could have said you don't need the din of Anus, because that's the nature of Bal Yiroah. It's Rotsa B'Kiyumo. And here there's no Rotsa B'Kiyumo. So even without the din of onus, even if it doesn't qualify as onus, or even if onus doesn't work in this kind of situation, or maybe onus doesn't work in Shev Baltasa, whatever it is, like in Karkayim, Anam Sasek. But the Kesef Mishnah touches on some of these issues. Okay, he makes it into a Bal Yiroah thing. Then he quotes Rabbeinu Manoach. We can see it about Rabbeinu Manoach. Rabbi Kiveger came up with this on his own as well. Or maybe Son of the Kesef Mishnah, hard to say. And that is another possibility. What's that, Binyamin?
The idea of the Idna, the Mekayim, the Mitzvah, you Mevatel, Tiltel.
Yeah. Whether or not there is a Be'idna in the Aseh of Tashbisu being Doche, I guess the Tiltel, in this case, the clash. So then he's basically treating it, that's Rabbeinu Manoach. As a, you know, there is Tashbisu, there is Bal Yiroah, but it goes according to the universal, not a special din in the limits of Bal Yiroah. It's not a special din in how you assess the Tzorech, the need for Tzorech Tzas and the Hagadarah of Tashbisu as Tzorech. Rather, it's a din in Bidna, it's a universal question of Aseh Dochalos Aseh, even on a Durabanan level. Okay, so that's the thing. Then, of course, I'm going to have to stop in a minute. I have to run. There's another view, and that's the Shita Mekubetzes and Ksuvos. Anybody have that? Anybody see that? Avi, you saw it?
I don't think so.
Okay. Tuvia?
The one where he says that they're less malachos because we tov?
No, he does say that there, too, and that's really something I've been... mentioning, but what he says to answer this question very specifically. He has a very interesting line, which is paradigma. Aaron, you saw it?
I think so. Is it the one in the name of the Radvaz?
I don't remember. Is it in the name of the Radvaz?
Does he say,
there's something in the Radvaz we have to discuss too, but we'll get to that in a second.
Does he say that it's just not Lutzara Chanas Aguf, so that's why it wouldn't be Mutter?
He has that Deya. But he says something else about Havara, about Srefa, which Srefas are included under Mitoch and which are not. Which are it's, which it's are
Havara for Tzarchuch and Nefesh.
As opposed to?
Stam Havara for not Tzarchuch.
There's a difference between burning something, Matan.
Yeah.
You have
a
line?
Yeah, I mean, so it's Sarah. Ochonefesh, Hadlik Ishka de Lavasha love, Oka de Lafos, but Hutchinam Shlitzach, Kohanai the Mugma. In the Komokam Sarah and Naz Haguf, Ika. Yoka Kova, it's Sarah Tasha Shari. Yeah, it is the best.
What?
It is the Radvaz, I think.
Oh, it is the Radvaz. Okay, yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, so what's the point?
The point is that there's two types of Havaras. There's Havara that's for eating, and then there's a separate type of Havara. And
Havara, there's Havara that's burning. Just burning, yeah. Something. Destroying, yeah. Something. Kilui.
Yeah.
There's Havara L'shem transforming something, like Kibishol and so on, or Hanotzaguf. right? And then there's Havara, which is Kilo Yachefza. That's a huge asod. So the point isn't simply that it's not Anas Aguf, it's not the Tzura of Havara. So this is an important principle. And so what he's saying is when you burn chametz, you're just destroying the chametz. It's there's no bitok in that. Of course, he has a huge problem with Hayomid Beis. I'm sorry, Natan?
I thought he thinks that there still would be mitoch for chametz because you could make hechitimsos that it'll be letzorech.
Because you can what?
You can have cases that while you're burning the chametz, you can get some hanach from it. And then he just says the issue is just a muksa issue.
No. Let me do one second. Let me find the line. I don't know where
at the end he says it's because of muksa. First he says it's going to be a problem. Then he quotes.
The muksa, I think, is a different point. I'm just trying to. I just don't want to take the time because I've got to run in a minute. I've got to go somewhere. But I thought I had it on my phone, but for some reason I'm
the muksa. The muksa is only going to Shita Satosos. I don't think the Advaz himself holds it. Like that. I think he's only trying to explain Shita Satosos when he mentions the
Moksa. Yeah. Also, I thought he just said that the Tzura. Hold on one second. I don't know where it went here. Okay, I guess technology is not all that it's supposed to be, right? Okay, I'll try to read it. I'll bring it tomorrow when we finish this in the beginning. But I think what he's saying is that the Tzura of Srefa is just different. But that, of course, raises a question. About what you do with Hayomid Beis. That explains Vav Amud Aleph. It doesn't explain, what would have been in Hayomid Beis. But it is an important principle because he uses it for, I think, other things too. And that is that unlike the beginning of the Shita Mekubetzes says, which discusses the idea that, there are just, there aren't 39 of us Malacha on Yom Tov. There are, I don't know, 27. Right? And as we pointed out, that's very difficult. Because what are you going to do with the Shem Chol, the Shem Kalev, the Shem, all those things. So probably they don't mean it, although they mean it. Meaning I always use that as an example of, where you see formulations that are very telling, even though they're not precise. And the people who, who formulated them didn't really mean them, but it's still significant because it shows you what he's thinking. So I think what they're thinking is that wherever you have L'shem Melechas Hayom, right, or a certain kind of tzura that doesn't have a shem melacha. That's what they mean. It's hutr legamri. Not that it's, l'shem atzorech or matir, even though it's a maisa or a cheftza of iser. So I think it's a strong statement of that, but they don't mean the details. But then the question is, so where do you draw the line? Is it the Tzorach Hayom part, maybe it's the Tzura. So what they're saying is, as an Av Malacha, Havara is Havara, right? Lo Savar Reish B'Kom Moshu Sechem is the Makar for Sreifas Chametz on Shabbos, let's say, as well as for, Bishol, Havara L'Shem Bishol, and so on. But from a Mitoch point of view, from Hetzrochel Nefesh point of view, the Tzura is what's Koveya. Anything that has to do, even if it's Shalola Tzorech, Mitoch Shehutra Tzorech, Hutunami Shalola Tzorech. Because the Shem Malacha still has that Tzura. But if you have within the same Av Malacha, that's a Chiddush, I think, of the Shittim Kubetz says. If you have a distinctive Tzura of the Shem Malacha, it's not necessarily under the rubric of mitoch. Okay, so that's why I think Shita Mekubetzes is the same. The Radvaz himself in the tshuva, chelik beis simin kuf mem beis, in the Lashonos Rambam, has a different take. Who mentioned this to me also the other day? They said Ezra. Was it Ezra?
I think I may have brought it up, Rebbe.
What's that?
I think I may have brought it up.
Kyle. Dr. Shear. Yeah, go ahead. So what does he say?
I can read the part of the tshuva.
Yeah, great. The one, it's, what is it? Am I right?
Yeah,
is it Beis Kuf Mem Beis?
Yeah.
We'll stop in a minute because I just got to run. But yeah, go ahead.
So he says in the answer part, I'll just read the answer. Venir Ali, Litain Tam, the Svarto, Shim ata matir lahaviroto, yavo lich gaval chabut, with high of malkut, picha hammer mutov lahaput lav to cle, mashiavo de malacha kumura. So yeah. It says it's better.
That's a very fascinating idea. So what is it, Kyle?
It's better to come, better to not do srefa because you'll come to actually do mechaba, you'll come to extinguish the flame. So therefore, you do kfiyat kli as opposed to actually doing srefa.
So the answer then he's saying, Inochanami, yes, but it's overridden by some other chashash. But at least that other chashash is a mukta, it's something within the havara itself. But I was pointing out to Kyle that would work for the Rambam in particular, because the Rambam, of all the Rishonim, against all Rishonim, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa is Chayiv. And therefore Kibui, even Shalol Tzorech Pachamim, according to the Rambam, is a Malach Daraisa. Whereas for most Rishonim, that would be, you know, that's Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa. It's a drabanan, but it's only chashas drabanan. So it's questionable whether that would be an issue. So I want to finish up tomorrow just by, very quickly, by talking about a little more about the Ritva, the Rajba, which I think are beyond the Ramban. Meaning, the Ramban says, if, you know, Mila Shalom Bezmana, Sreifas Kadshim, there are many mitzvos, but if they're not mitzvos ayom, they're not included. As I say, I think he, you know, is constricting Balitosis. And in the process, I don't think it's just a quantitative debate. I think it ends up being a qualitative one, but how tzorech tzas, it works. But I think the application more particularly to Yom Yadalid and the contrast between Hamad Beis and Bav Mal, which I already mentioned, the way I understand it, in the Ritva and the position quoted in the Tshuva Sarah Rashba, namely that on Hamad Beis, we're dealing with the view that the Ikar Zman Tashbisu is Yom Tov. So Ein Lecha Tzorech Hayom, that's not even Tzorech Tzas, that's Tzorech Hayom. That's the biggest Maisa you could do. Shel Chag HaMatzos, right? Mash Ein Kein on Vav Amud Aleph, which is doing yesterday's Malacha. Unless, again, yesterday was just the beginning, you know, and it continues equally, or it's likrat. But if you assume that it's by definition a malachas, erev yom tov, then there's no mitoch. Contrary. So that's what I think the Ritva and that position of the Rajba was suggesting. The Rajba actually likes the chiluk. He just thinks that it's not enough to neutralize mitoch, which is very interesting. And then I want to speak just very briefly about the Avnei Nezer, which I think is saying the same idea, but I think he interestingly connects it to what he understands in Machlokas between the Tur and Balei Tosis about the nature of Bal Yiro, which I think he thinks reflects on this question. So I want to finish up with that very quickly tomorrow and speak also the Maram Chalava quickly. And then I want to go through Shaka Vataria on Hamad Beis Tevav Amud Aleph. Okay, Baba Yira, and start breaking that down. Okay, everybody should have a great day, and we will continue tomorrow.